wizard, Harry.
To the Harry Potter Book Club for The Order of the Phoenix with
Michael DeMauro,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Sarah Tompkins. This week, we talk about Chapter 19, The Lion and the Serpent. We explore my favorite place, the Hufflepuff Common Room, and the Quidditch Cup continues.
We have made it to the ultimate live, not live, recorded audio.
Super live,
probably,
super
okay.
Recorded.
Live stream recording is what you mean.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The final live stream recording.
Man, the live stream has been so stinky this whole time. They haven't showered in 18 weeks. They haven't eaten. They've been eating like trash. And I don't know.
And barefoot brand wine.
Ooh. Yeah.
Why do they have barefoot brand wine?
Because they're eating trash, I thought.
Oh, okay.
No?
Got it.
It's the only one that they can afford in by the gallon. I don't know.
I think it is impossible for me and Sarah to catch Vijaya before the live show. I think she's going to...
I think it's impossible. I mean, yeah. Michael, I'm just going to say it might be impossible to catch her... ever.
No.
She might be.
No,
she
no,
might
no.
be
I think the
going
score is,
for...
I think the score is like 90-2-1.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
That's
she might be.
Right.
She might be the Derek Jeter / Yankees to our very much lesser Boston Red Sox / lesser Red Sox players who I can't think of, like that guy Damon and that other guy Ortiz.
That guy was on your team.
He was, and then we kicked him off.
I'm the Kobe Bryant to all of the lesser ones.
No, actually, I think we actually took him up after you guys kicked him off. It's fine.
Vijaya's my friend, and I wish you would take back those very nasty things you just said about her.
I compared her to the Yankees, so
no.
That means that I love her more than everything.
She has a soul. Take it back. Come on.
By marriage, I'm supposed to be a Reds fan, but they always lose.
Yeah, they do. It's really terrible.
Anyway.
It's really quite bad.
All right, baseball talk. Baseball. Let's go the Lakers, who also all lose.
Week 19.
I'm just gonna say my local basketball team are the Wizards, which seems more apropos to Harry Potter.
It's true.
That's pretty good.
Do I care about the Wizards? Not that much, but are they my team? Sure.
They have a University of Kentucky player playing on their team.
Yes, they do.
That's cool. That's
John
pretty
Wall.
Cool.
No, it's not cool. Yeah. It's terrible.
Cool.
I went to college.
That's
John
bad.
Wall.
We're Louisville fans, Sarah. Come on.
I took, when I was a senior in college, I took a rocks, it's basically like a class you could take to be a senior and not have to try, and it was like rocks and volcanoes or something.
Geology?
Yeah. No, but it was literally called like volcanoes and something,
okay.
I don't remember. But John Wall and then the rest of the UK basketball team was in that class, and they just sat in the back and put their headphones on the whole time, and no one said anything.
It's
I
not
think
good.
That's like most
that's shocking.
Athletic teams.
Lame.
I had football players and basketball players in my classes, and at U of L did the same thing. But
I mean,
sure, charmed life is worse.
Am I doing that much better? Am I doing that much better at Quidditch Cup? Not really. So there you go.
And you
okay.
have headphones on.
Well, I have headphones on, and I suck at this. So what? Which week are we on?
19.
Yikes. Okay, I'm ready.
And
who
I think
going
it's.
First?
I think it's me and Sarah.
Yep.
Pretty much I always do because I always lose. So I'm ready, Michael.
Okay. What is the full name of the Wizarding Hospital? Sarah.
St. Mungo's Infirmary for the Invalid. I don't
what?
Remember the last word.
What was it? Okay, say the whole thing again.
I don't remember that. This is St. Mungo's home for the sick. I don't remember the last word. I said invalid, which is not nice. So I don't remember. Oh, then Seimon goes home for the sick.
Okay. Michael.
It's magical maladies, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and? You're right. I don't remember it.
And what else?
She said eight. Oh, there's more?
Uh-huh.
Michael thought he got the whole point for that.
Seimon goes home for magical maladies and really bad stuff that happens.
Oh, and wait. Seimon goes home for magical maladies and something infirmaries.
Nope.
Oh, goddamn.
Okay, it's St. Mungo's Hospital for Magical Maladies and Injuries.
Oh, I said infirmaries and injuries.
So, Sarah, you
neither
got the
of us
first part kind of right.
No, I didn't really.
And, Michael, you got magical maladies. So
I feel good about that.
Yeah, I'm going to give you 0.75, and Sarah, you get 0.25.
Wow. Seimon Gus gets less?
Yeah, because you didn't say magical maladies at all. You literally said the word invalid.
But I knew it wasn't right.
But you got some points. I wasn't going to give you any at all.
Can I have no points instead of 2.5? Because that's not nice.
I love it. This is unprecedented.
No, I legitimately don't want any points. I don't want points if I get 2.5. I don't want
to get 0.5 each because Sarah got St. Mungo's.
Okay, that's
two
fair.
Words, and magical maladies is two words. So
I'll take it. We'll do that.
Fine. Give him 0.5 each, but don't give him one and 0.5.
Why are you listening to Bajaya?
Bajaya. Like no, she said 7.75 for Michael, 0.25 for me. I legitimately rather have zero.
I know, but you should get 0.5.
You're getting 0.5, and he's getting 0.5.
Sarah, Bajaya just took 0.25 away from me, and I will take every 0.25 I can get.
I won't.
I'm not proud. I'll take them.
I am.
She lawyered me a little on that argument.
We don't do 0.25s.
Megan says. No. We have decided
Megan's
that.
Powers have a limit.
They do not. She's our god.
Meg's power is corrupt.
Oh, is
we
this like
not the, have that?
We have to re-record this whole thing, don't we? Like
no,
all of
no,
it.
I'm not writing any more damn questions. I'm not doing it.
All right. So, you all have to go on a winner off?
A wrong quest. Okay, yeah, I'm ready
winner,
for the wrong
this
quest.
Is a winner tiebreaker. Off, so whoever wins... Wait, how does the winner...
Yes, whoever wins goes on to...
Gets to do another point, yeah.
Okay. What is the name of Ginny Weasley's boyfriend? Sarah.
Michael Corner.
Woo! Yep. Done.
Yeah,
you don't get any points,
but I told you, Bajaya, that Michael Corner is a Gryffindor. She makes out with him, and girl power.
Yeah.
Okay, he's not Zacharias, who's a dick.
Yeah, Zacharias
so
sucks.
Me for the last question?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh man, I gotta make a good impression for the last question.
Come on, Sarah, you can do it.
Shut up, Michael.
I can't.
Close
I'm
your
ready.
Flap. My father-in-law told my mother-in-law the other day to close her flap as a joke, not
okay.
In an aggressive way, and we all thought it was funny because it's funny.
Because LOL.
I'm ready. I'm not ready, but I'm ready.
All right. Which teacher was the first to be put on probation and fired by Umbridge?
Beep!
Bajaya.
Trelawney!
Yep.
I think you should only give her 0.75 for that.
She didn't say Sybil Trelawney.
Yeah.
She did not. That's fair.
Sarah, you close your flaps.
Close them, all the flaps.
Well, we did it, everybody. Thank you, Megan.
Did we actually do it? Some of us did not do it at all.
No, you were pretty close.
It's not as bad as you're making it out.
Yeah, I think you're being fatalist about it. You actually hung in there.
You did. It's true.
You're being us, but you're really clawed your way into
it. I did not say that.
Look, you could have ended up with just 2 points for the whole thing.
Sure.
That's true. I could have never read a book in my life.
But you clawed your way up to like 6 or 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think I got that far.
No, you have 7 points. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Look, you doubt yourself.
I'm
You're
amazed.
My opponent and you make me root for you. You shut the hell up. Right now.
But Bishai, Michael has won more times than both of us, so you have to kind of root for me a tiny bit.
I guess. I think we
Maybe
should
not.
We should just root against Michael at all times, even if he didn't have the one other one. Michael, tell us the score.
It's currently Sarah with 7 points, Michael with 17, and Bajai with 13.
Yeah, see, that's not anything. That's not Michael, me hanging on.
Michael does not have 17. He has 7.
I mean, I kept track, so.
Wait, could you please,
Michael,
could you actually.
You do not have
17
actual points.
What are the, okay, what's the
I have, a, it's 7 to 11 to 13, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, that's still not great. But cool.
It's
you are within you want it to be within
It's better.
Five.
That's
You're
true.
Within 7.
That's true. That's true.
Maybe Michael and I will do terribly, which we won't. So you have to bring it for the live show, but
that's true. Or maybe Dumbledore and tell me anything and nothing matters. I'm just taking a very Harry nihilistic.
I was about to say, are you Harry from book 5?
Yeah, that was that's exactly what that was. So. Yeah.
Also, we will be picking, I guess, our cast for the Harry Potter fanfic that we'll read and act aloud
and
record.
Yeah.
Okay, but question, did you actually read it yet?
I have not. I will if you
There's not a very big cast. I haven't reread it.
I didn't think there would be, but I just think that it'd be fun to.
Well, you should have at least a narrator.
Yeah. And then the three main cast?
I haven't actually reread it because I'm so intensely embarrassed by the fact that it exists, so I can't tell you who's
I am I'm just so happy and proud and thankful for the our Kickstarter backers that went above and beyond to make sure that we hit our stretch goal.
Mm-hmm.
So they were so excited about us reading your fanfics. So
it's gonna be great.
I mean, and if it doesn't hold up to your expectations upon you reading it, I can always like write some more or whatever.
Oh boy!
Like she
careful what you ask for, or yeah. Careful what you promise.
I should be careful what I promise, but I can't. I legitimately cannot remember what those are like because I have not read them since I wrote them in whatever year that was.
I'm sure it's great.
It's almost 10 years ago, probably.
Oh my god! It's gonna be even better.
Golly.
Maybe probably more than that. Yeah, because I was in high school, so it's definitely more than that, because I'm old now.
Oh, man.
Oh, God, yeah. Guys. Oh, God, guys.
Michael, okay. Sarah and I, and Sarah, Megan, and I are so old.
You guys are so old.
Yeah.
Why are we old?
Undistinguished.
Did we actually finish did we close out the episode?
No. I mean, we probably did.
Cool.
I don't think we did.
Well, we are all doing great,
mm-hmm.
except for some of us. But some of us are still trying. Some of us are going to actually come back because they're actually going to read the book by the time we get to it. Because legitimately, we are not that far in our episodes. We're only 4 episodes in.
We're not 19 episodes
that
in, Sarah.
You can take that out. You can take that out, Alan.
I don't think we're going to be that far in by the time we get to GeeklyCon, Sarah.
But I'll at least have, hopefully.
Well, I will see you all next week live at GeeklyCon.
I'm so excited to be at GeeklyCon, guys. Columbus is pretty cool.
Which actually probably, when this airs, will have happened ages ago. But
yeah.
Who's counting?
That's true. Columbus was so cool, guys. Can you remember how cool Columbus was?
It's so close to me. Hooray.
You were like, Ohio, what? But then you got there and you were like, Ohio, yeah.
Hey, don't Ohio what? Ohio's awesome.
We should do GeeklyCon again there next year and the year after that.
Well, Louisville, Kentucky would be better because it's more convenient for me, but whatever. Well, I mean, Columbus, Ohio is fine.
I mean, Bajaya, you've seen the contract, so. All right, bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Can't wait to see you at GiglaCon. I'm so happy to have seen you there. Bye.
Chapter 19, The Lion and the Serpent.
So Harry is, like, on cloud nine, not because of Cho, but because all of the good stuff going on with Dumbledore's army is making him feel real nice. Like, he's feeling, he is in the resistance now. He's fighting the power. He's speaking the truth. And he loves it. He really does. He feels like he's silently rebelling against Umbridge and doing exactly what she was afraid of. And he loves that because she has no clue. But he is having one issue with Dumbledore's army, and that's trying to find a meeting time. And boy, let me tell you, I understand what you're going through, Harry. You don't even have Outlook to compare everyone's schedules. But essentially, everyone on the Quidditch teams, you know, can't go during Quidditch practice. So he's, you know, apparently he's only friends with jocks, and that's the only thing that matters. But they're trying to get all these schedules done. But he actually thinks about it a little bit more and is like, well, it's actually probably better that we have an unpredictable pattern because nobody can say, oh, these students are all disappearing on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. What are they doing? Are they watching this week's Riverdale? No, they're fighting the man.
They should be re-watching this week's Riverdale.
They should, because them and those murder teens have a lot in common. But so since they're having such a hard time with this, Hermione actually comes up with this really cool idea because she thought it might be suspicious if everybody was walking all across the great room to talk to each other, because apparently nobody from other houses talks to each other ever. And, you know, you can't just tell one person, you can tell another person, and, you know, and on and on. That's what phone trees are for. Have you never been in school or on a field trip or whatever? But she makes this really cool coin, and it actually looks like a regular galleon. But instead of having the serial number around the outside, like it usually does, which tells you, like, the goblin who created this coin, it actually will change to say the date and time of the next meeting. There's like a whole basket of them, and they hand them out to everyone. And Harry just has to change his coin to the date and the time, and all of the other coins will change.
Ooh.
It's a really cool trick that Hermione used. She used the Protean charm on that. And Terry Boots, like, everyone is silent. Terry Boot is like, oh, you use the Protean charm? And she's like, yeah. And he tells her that that's a super advanced charm, like Newt level advanced. And why isn't she in Ravenclaw? Because she's too smart for Gryffindor. And she says, oh, well, Gryffindor, actually, Ravenclaw actually was where I was going to be sorted because of the hat. But then they decided last minute Gryffindor. So they're all like, okay, yeah, this is cool. We'll do this. And apparently also once Harry changes the date and time, it gets warm. So like if you have it in your pocket. Yeah, so if you have it on your person, like in your pocket, you're going to feel the warmth. So you're going to be able to check to see that the time and date have been essentially posted, you know, for lack of a better term.
What if it malfunctions and it gets hot and your pants catch on fire?
Then somebody's going to be like, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Or you could use it for when it's cold out, like a hand warmer.
Right. Or it could be like, God damn, I'm so hot, my pants can't stay on. I don't know. I guess I'd have to try and... I don't know why I was like a weird like 1940s voice and I did vaudeville arms, but that's fine.
My pants,
they can't stay on. And Harry actually comments to Hermione, he's like, this is really cool, but, you know, it kind of reminds me of like the Death Eaters with the Dark Mark and how they know to go to Voldemort when their Dark Mark burns. And she's like, oh yeah, that's actually where I got the idea, but I'm actually not, you know, like burning anyone's or permanently scarring anyone's skin to give them that. And Harry's like, yeah, this is definitely the better way.
She's like, look, Voldemort had some good ideas.
I just made them better. Okay. And that's what women are for. But so, the only danger essentially is like, you know, you could accidentally spend the galleon. And Ron's like, haha, fat chance, because I don't have any galleons. I'm really poor. And it was kind of a sad moment. It was supposed to be funny, but it kind of made me bummed out. Anyway, so the first Quidditch match of the season is coming up. And you guys, you gave me another Quidditch chapter. So, thanks.
We didn't give it to you. It's karma, or just, it's supposed to happen. I think you're supposed to fall in love with Quidditch, not Quizzitch.
Maybe. Hasn't worked yet, but that's cool. So it's actually Slytherin against Gryffindor. And obviously this is a very heated match, not only for the Gryffindors and the Slytherins, but the other houses also want to see, this is like their first chance to see how the other teams are playing, because obviously they're going to have to face off against these teams eventually anyway. So everyone's pretty invested in this. Harry's used to all the hubbub surrounding it. Ron, however, is not, and he is feeling real down the dumps, real bummed about the upcoming match. He's very nervous. He doesn't know why he thought he could play Quidditch. He's not in a good place. Mm. All the Slytherins are mocking him. And actually, it's super great because that's not super great because it's sad, but Harry's like so used to all of that he's like, don't even worry about it. And he has this really good burn where Pansy Parkinson is like, hey Potty, I had Orrington sworn to knock you off your broom on Saturday. And Harry is like, Harry says, Orrington's aim's so pathetic, I'd be more worried if he was aiming for the person next to me. I'm like, that's a pretty good burn, Harry.
Got him.
Yeah, Pansy Parkinson's face is not about it. She's a little pissed. Ron's obviously, they keep saying, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, is there a bed in the hospital wing for you, Weasley? And stuff like that. And he's so sad. And Harry's so used to all this stuff. He's like, don't even worry about it. And so on the morning of the match, Ron is looking real bad. Harry wakes up. Ron is already sitting bolt right up in bed next to him. And I totally get that. I'm a stressed person before big things too. I can't sleep. And he's like, you're gonna be great. Let's go get food. So they get onto the Great Hall. As they're going through, it looks like the Slytherins are all wearing like matching badges of silver badges of some sort. And Harry can't really see it because he's like trying to get like Ron to the table. So he gets Ron to the table, doesn't see what they say. He's like trying to feed Ron cereal. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. Just eat. You know what I mean? Mange. You need to have your energy. And Ron again is like disparaging about himself. And Harry's like, hey, you had that super great save the other day at practice. Fred and George even admitted that they are like, could be proud of you and are willing to admit that you're their brother, which they haven't ever been willing to admit. And Ron's like, actually, that save was an accident, and I accidentally fell off my broom and was trying to get back on before you guys all saw that I fell off my broom, and I kind of accidentally kicked the quaffle. And Harry's Ron, that's bad news, but he doesn't say it out loud. He, like, doesn't say it out loud. Hermione and Ginny come over and, you know, greet them and say good luck. Luna comes over and she tells them that she is supporting Gryffindor. And not only is she supporting Gryffindor, but she has a giant lion hat on that is like literally it's like a size of a lion's head. And when she taps with her wand, it roars super loud. So she's very into it. And she actually said she wanted to get like a serpent, like a snake for it to eat. But she ran out of time. I get it, girl. Sometimes your paper mache takes longer to set than you want.
I am really happy that they actually did that in the movie because that was like one of my favorite parts of the movie.
It's just really sweet. And actually, as she walks away, she tells Ron good luck. She doesn't say anything to Harry, but she says, good luck, Ronald, which is really like, Luna's so sweet. So, you know, as they're leaving the Great Hall, Alicia and Katie are like, we're gonna head up to check out the field and get ready and everything. And Hermione turns, like, whispers to Harry. She says, hey, like, don't let Ron see those badges, like, that the Slytherins are wearing. And, you know, she leaves, and Harry is trying to usher Ron out. And as he's, like, shoving Ron out the door so he doesn't see the badges, Harry notices the badges say Weasley is our king. And he's like, oh, God, this is gonna be real bad. So they go up they change, they get on the field. Crab and Goyle apparently are the beaters for the other team, and they're like, oh god, that sucks, because they suck. It's all the worst. They get going. There's already bad sportsmanship in the air. Of course, Jordan, who's the only good part about these Quidditch matches, is announcing, and he's giving lots of color commentary that's fair and balanced, of course, for Gryffindor. While he is announcing, he's like, look, everybody's really into this game. Listen, I can hear the crowd singing. What are they singing?
No.
And because he can't tell. And when he quiets down, they realize that all the Slytherins are singing, Weasley cannot save a thing. He cannot block a single ring. That's why Slytherins all sing, Weasley is our king.
Who came up with this fucking song?
Oh, first, I mean, wait, let me get to the second verse, but this is some Hey There Delilah level lyrics, okay? Weasley was born in a bin. He always lets the quaffle in. Weasley will make sure we win. Weasley is our king, which is not good. And so then, of course, Lee Jordan, like, realizes that this is not good. And he tries to cover it up by like talking really loudly. And what ends up happening, there's lots of Quidditch action, blah, 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 sports, sports, sports. Somebody scores on Ron. The Slytherin gets the first goal, 10 points to Slytherin. It's 10-0. You know, Alicia tries to score. Her attempt is blocked, still 10-0. Another score on Gryffindor. And so it's Slytherin is 20-10. Oh, or 20-0, rather.
Yeah,
20-0. And Ron is really losing it. And Harry has noticed that, you know, once things start going past Ron, he gets worse and worse because he really gets disparaging of himself.
It's the nerves.
It's the nerves. But also you start really believing that you're bad, you know? He's really buying into that mythos. So Slytherin is singing even louder than before. They're at the point where it's like 40-10 and Harry's like, you know what? We can catch up. 30 points is nothing. Which it really isn't. When he sees a snitch, thank God. Because he was just praying for that snitch. So he goes, he and Malfoy are neck and neck. He clamps his hand over the snitch, and Malfoy even scratches the back of his hand. That's how close they came to both getting the snitch. And Harry's going back down toward the ground because he dove in real low when he gets hit in the back with a bludger. Or, what? Excuse me, with what? A quaff. With a bludger. I was right. Oh, yeah. You said what? And I questioned myself. So he gets hit in the back, like lower back, with a bludger, falls off his broom, is winded. Thankfully, is still holding on to the snitch. So he still wins. But apparently, Crabbe had sent a bludger rocketing toward him illegally after he'd already caught the snitch. So that's like super not cool. Also, this game is so dangerous. Could you imagine? Like, he got hit in the lower back. I'm like, that could have broken his little, like, do you know they say that your spinal cord is like as thick as your pinky and the consistency of spaghetti? Like, that's not that hard to sever.
They have Madame Pomfrey, they're fine,
I guess. That's rough, man. Anyway, so once that's all over, they get on the ground, and you know, and they're like, oh, thank God you won. Everyone's hugging. Malfoy comes up to Harry and the twins and is like, oh, well, it's a good thing that you're here, Potter. You saved Weasley, didn't you? And then he starts saying that they wanted to have more rhymes and that they couldn't think of a word that rhymed, like words that rhymed with fat and ugly because they have a bad vocabulary. Because they wanted to sing about Weasley's mother and they couldn't fit in useless loser, so they couldn't talk about Mr. Weasley. And like Fred and George realize what's happening and they are not for it, which, good on ya. And they both go running toward him.
Oh, no.
Both Fred and George are being restrained by, like, Alicia and Katie. Like, they're holding Fred. But then Malfoy, you know, goes for, like, the coup d'etat.
Yeah.
He says, or perhaps you can remember what your mother's house stank like, Potter and Weasley's pigsty reminds you of it.
Ba-bum. Oh, damn.
And that means Harry's in it. And Harry was the one holding back George. So George is in it, too. So they're both, like, beating on Malfoy, which, good. You know, boys, I don't blame you. When they get pulled apart, Madame Hooch does an impediment spell or impediment jinx. And they you know, get knocked back. They're sent to McGonagall's office. McGonagall's like, I can't believe you did this. Oh, actually, she's Scottish. She's like, oh, I can't believe you did this. And then, you know, whatever. I always have to start, whenever I start a Scottish accent, I have to go, oh, to start it. I don't know. And she says, she's like, I'm giving you detention for a week. You guys are in trouble. That was bad display of behavior. And right in the middle of this, she hears that.
No. Get out of here.
No.
Oh, yeah. And Umbridge is there. And she's like, can I help you? And Professor Gonagall's like, yeah, you can help yourself to the door. But basically, she's like, oh, real mad because Umbridge is all up in her business. And she's like, I thought you could use some authority here. And she's like, nope, I'm doing just fine. And she's like, no, I think you're wrong. I think that they need to be punished more. And she's like, nope, I think this is fine. And Umbridge is like, well, no, you're wrong. And McGonagall's like, well, good thing that it's my opinion that matters since they're in my house and, you know, they're subject to my authority. She's like, well, actually, they're not anymore because of the educational degree number 25.
Ugh.
Yeah, McGonagall's like, another one? And basically this one says that Umbridge can override any decisions made by anyone at the school, essentially. And so she thought, apparently she went to Cornelius, excuse me, the minister of magic, which she literally does. She actually said, Cornelius, I mean, the minister. After McGonagall had overridden her decision about the reforming of the Quidditch team and letting them play again, she went to Fudge and was like, this is not going to stand. He's like, you're right, here, I'm giving you the ultimate power. And so her decision is to actually ban Harry and George from Quidditch.
That is some bullshit.
For like a week?
Life.
What?
No.
They can never play ever, ever again. And you know what? Since Fred was being held back, it clearly shows intent. So he's also going to be banned for life.
What?
But yeah. What about the Slytherin people? They did bad things too.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. Crab had to like write lines. Guys.
Oh my gosh.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he got lines, and he's complaining about it at dinner. Yeah. So literally, like, three people are now banned from the Quidditch team. They also have to have their brooms confiscated, apparently, because the only thing brooms are good for is Quidditch. So they have to turn those over. Angelina is just so enraged, obviously. She's down three players. And obviously, it's just not fair. And Angelina's, because, you know, obviously Crabbe didn't get any sort of punishment for almost maiming Harry either. And so Angelina's like, I'm just going to go to bed and pretend it's all a dream. Ron, by the way, in this conversation that they're now having after Harry has gone back to the common room with George, they're having this conversation with Hermione and Ginny. Ron left the Quidditch field earlier before all of this hubbub went down and hasn't been seen since. And Harry's a little bit worried about him. And actually at that moment, Hermione says, you know, like, have you seen Ron? He literally, speak of the devil, walks through the portrait hole, and he's like got snow in his hair. He apparently has just been walking.
Hermione's like,
he's just so sad. And he's like, it's all my fault. And when Harry tells him that he and Fred and George have been banned, Ron's like, the only reason you got in that fight is because of me. And so it's all my fault. And you had to make up for my really shitty playing and all of this. And Harry is like, I can't deal with this. Like, stop making this about you. This is about me. And so they're arguing. And Hermione's like, hey, guys, stop it. I actually have something that's going to cheer you right up. And they're like, oh my God, is it chocolate cake? No, they didn't say that. They're like, what? And she says, Hagrid's back. Because apparently she's been looking out the window and something tells her that Hagrid is back.
Hagrid's back.
What, what, what?
Hagrid's back. All right.
Things in this chapter, we learn about the Protean Charm, which allowed Hermione to replicate all of those galleons and make it so that one piece can, you know, change a whole bunch of other pieces. Sounds like some, you know, fish and bread Jesus level shit. And we had, like, just, it was mostly just Quidditch, honestly. There's a new song, terrible song, Weasleys Are King. And we heard about a new educational decree, because those seem to keep on coming. My only question really was, like, why are they still allowed to play Quidditch? It's an intensely dangerous sport that doesn't seem to have any precautions, whether it's magical or not. Like, Harry is like, he's like, it's lucky that I got knocked off the broom from only 5 feet. And I was like, geez, you fall 5 feet and you got hit in the back? That's not good. There's got to be some OSHA laws against that. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have any questions about this chapter at all.
I don't think I do.
Quidditch is great.
Quidditch is lovely.
How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how great is Quidditch?
My question is, how do you not like Quidditch?
It's not that I dislike the idea of the sport. I just don't like reading sports, and I don't like reading battles. So, like, whenever they appear in books, like fights and things like that, I'm like, I'm just going to skip through all this. Watching it on TV, seeing a good like flip kick right to someone's face, I'm like, yes, but I don't want to read about it. I just want to know who won, who lost. That's it.
Oh, I was going to say that even though I dislike Slytherins and their song, I would be 100% the obnoxious person that would be screaming insults and shit at the other team.
Oh, yeah. You'd be the one making up a song about Slytherin.
Yeah.
I do and that be all like, the time. IRL.
It'd be like to the the tune of like a song from Hamilton or something.
Exactly.
That sounds right.
You're just gonna miss this shot. You're welcome.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for listening to me talk about
this chapter.
Good job, Sarah.
I'm going to try to, because there's another, isn't there another Quidditch game coming up?
Oh, there sure is.
No, I think there's only,
but
Harry,
but we don't actually hear Harry's a lot about it. Suspension. We just see the aftermath.
Yeah. I should try to make that your chapter.
How dare you? It might be.
We can trade if you want, Sarah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Y'all want to hear about the wonders of the Hufflepuff common room?
Sure do. You know it's my favorite place.
You sure do. Well, come on down to the Hufflepuff common room. So this is a write-up on Pottermore. So the Hufflepuff common room is, you can enter from the same corridor as the Hogwarts kitchen. And then you go past a large still life that forms the entrance of the kitchen. I think, when did they go into there? Last book, right? Because they meet Winky? No. Yeah. Yes.
No.
No.
Yes?
Yes. Goblet of Fire. After you pass the portrait that is the entrance to the Hogwarts kitchens, there's a pile of large barrels that are stacked in a shadowy stone recess to the right-hand side of the corridor. And then the barrel 2 from the bottom, middle of the second row, will open if tapped to the rhythm of Helga Hufflepuff.
Ooh.
I don't know what that rhythm is.
But does that change? Does that change, though? I feel like it's like, ba, 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 ba.
Hold on.
Helga Hufflepuff.
The complexity or otherwise of the entrance to the common rooms might be said to give a rough idea for the reputation of each house. So Hufflepuff has an unchanging portal and requires rhythmic tapping. Slytherin and Gryffindor have doorways that challenge the would-be entrant about equally. The former having the most imperceptible hidden entrance and a varying password. And Slytherin has a more capricious guardian and frequently changing password. And then in keeping with its reputation of the house of the most agile minds at Hogwarts, the House of Ravenclaw common room presents an actual intellectual or philosophical challenge every time a person knocks to it. So the security device to repel non-Hufflepuffs from tapping on the wrong barrel or tapping the incorrect number of times results in one of the other lids bursting and drenching the interloper with vinegar. Yeah. So then, like, after you get into the portal hole or whatever, a sloping earthy passage inside the barrel travels upwards a little way until a cozy, round, low-ceiling room is revealed, reminiscent of a badger's set, which I guess that's the badger's house.
Hmm.
Sure.
S-E-T-T.
A badger house.
So the room is decorated in cheerful, bee-like colors of yellow and black, emphasized by the use of highly polished, honey-colored wood for the tables and the round doors which lead to boys' and girls' dormitories, which are furnished in comfortable wooden bedsteads, all covered in patchwork quilts.
Mmm, cozy.
So cozy. It just seems like this dorm is, like, really cozy. I would like to hang out. It's also filled with plants and flowers that seem to relish in the atmosphere of the Hufflepuff common room. So, like, cacti, many of them waving and dancing at passerbys.
Oh, nice.
Popper bottom plant holders dangling amid ceilings cause tendrils of ferns and ivies to brush your hair as you pass under them.
That's neat.
Sounds like an Urban Outfitters.
So a portrait over the wooden mantelpiece, which is all carved all over with decorative dancing badgers, shows Helga Hufflepuff, one of the four founders, obviously, toasting her students with a tiny two-handed golden cup.
Cute. Wonder what that is.
I don't know. So the common room has small round windows that just level with the ground at the foot of the castle, show a pleasant view of rippling grass and dandelions and occasionally passing feet. These low windows still give the room a perennial sunny feeling. Nevertheless, it ought not to be concluded from the above that Hufflepuffs are dimwits or duffers. Though they
even though we have one unchanging password.
Though they have been,
to be honest, literally every time I have to log into something, I'm the person who has to like click the forgot my password every time without fail.
Though they've been portrayed that way on occasion, several outstanding brains have emerged from Hufflepuff House. In these Sarah Tompkins. Simple, these Sarah Tompkins, these fine minds simply happen to be allied to outstanding qualities of patience, a strong work ethic, and constancy, all traditional hallmarks of the Hufflepuff House. So J.K. Rowling's thoughts on this is that when she first planned the series, she expected Harry and I guess the other students to visit all four house rooms during their time of Hogwarts. But then she realized that there was never going to be valid reason for him to go to the Hufflepuff room, because he goes to Slytherin and Ravenclaw, but Hufflepuff's the only one he never gets into. So, but she says that the Hufflepuff room is just as real to her than the other three, and she knew exactly where the Hufflepuffs were going when they headed off towards the kitchens after lessons. I like to think that maybe Hufflepuffs are friends with the house elves and they sneak them food.
Definitely.
I would hope so.
Okay, guys. I actually was thinking about the Hufflepuff common room, and I made a list of things that I feel like would be in the Hufflepuff common room.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys want to hear my list of things that I've made.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Jesus.
Bye.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Ready? Okay. Those airtight, clicky food containers, you know, that you just put stuff in, you're like, click, click. Buffalo plaid blankets, but like the soft kind, not the really itchy kind. The game Connect 4. Some of those adult coloring books.
Yes.
A quesadilla maker. Probably a sectional couch.
What about a waffle maker?
They'd probably have that too, but they'd probably just use a quesadilla maker and just make like flat pancakes. like a whole cabinet of Pepto-Bismol. Saucy romance novels. Some like white girl scented candles. Novelty straws. Thick socks, like maybe the kind that old people wear, like those circulation socks, you know? I'm going to assume they have a lot of boxed wine in there, because I just feel like they just want the wine. They don't care about the vintage or the Ravenclaws. They have boxed wine in there. They definitely also have a heated blanket. Those, like, salsa and dip bowls that are shaped like hats, where, like, the salsa goes in the middle part, and the chips, the tortilla chips go around it. Snuggies. A DVD retrospective on Molly Ringwald. Those little crystal figurines, you know, they have, like, of, like, unicorns. The ones that like, old people have. Yeah. A lot of, like, cheesy Union Jack pillows. Tea cozies. A ton of People magazines. A bowl of mini Mars bars. Puff paint to make homemade t-shirts. That string that you use for Cat's Cradle. A book of inspirational quotes. Healing crystals and the weird essential oil burners, you know, where you put and you're like, lavender, I'm so relaxed. A bong.
This is like a middle-aged white woman's house that you're describing.
A Hufflepuff. A bong, I thought maybe shaped like a Buddha or a hippogriff or something.
I like a badger. Obviously.
Oh, obviously like a badger. Random mood rings that are like stuck into the couch that people have just lost. Some sort of like tie-dyed tapestry that someone like threw over a lamp one time when everyone was drunk or high. And like nobody really wants it there, but nobody wants to remove it because nobody wants to offend anyone else. Because like, oh, it's probably this person's and I don't want them to feel bad about it. So it just kind of lives there all the time. And toast.
And toast.
That's my list. That's what I envision is the Hufflepuff common room.
That's very good.
Sarah, did you just describe your apartment?
No.
I see all of that.
Guys, my bong is not shaped like a badger.
I see all of that in your room right now. That was a very good list.
Thank you. Extremely good list.
Thanks. If you have any other things that you think would definitely be in the Hufflepuff common room, please tell me. Please at me.
Please at her, but not me.
Don't at me.
Also, by the way, when you were describing the Hufflepuff common room, it did sound like Urban Outfitters, thus a white girl's apartment.
Middle-aged white woman's apartment.
I'm just saying.
All that's missing is like a bunch of cats.
It's true, which they probably have some.
They probably have some.
God.
Although Ravenclaw definitely is going to have a lot of cats because they have a lot of smart, sassy ladies in there and they're all about the cat life.
They probably have a lot of dogs too because I like dogs.
And now I'm a Ravenclaw. You're like, that obviously has to be true.
But obviously.
Obviously. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Adios. Bye.
Hey, guys. It's another round of thank yous. Yay.
Oh, we should say thank you to more people.
So this week, we're going to thank Kelly Beam, Lisa, without a last name, Ryan Farver.
Hi, Ryan.
Vashti.
Hi, Vashti.
Hello.
Vashti.
Daniel, Lisa, Vashti, Daniel Tipton.
Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel.
Max Murray.
Thank you, Max Murray.
That's a good name.
I don't know this person. Ben Apperson? I don't know who that is.
I think it's a person.
Griffin Fire. Hi, Griffin.
Hi.
Griffin Fire. Elizabeth Smith and Alex Holly.
Nice.
Thank you for backing us, and we'll see you next week with another round of Nate.
Thanks, everyone. For joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Special thanks to Alan Matthews, our editor, Jesse Carlton, who provided our artwork, and Sean Fagan, who provided our music. Hi, friends, want to help us out? Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Or if you want to get in touch, email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Want to talk to us on Twitter? Find us at PotterPod. Or find me at Her Lady Tompkins. Michael is Thrifty Nerd, and Bajaya is Ethnic Ninja. I almost hung up on you guys. I don't know why. I almost hit the hang up.
Bye. Hey, people on the live stream, thanks for hanging in with us and with all our technical difficulties because of Michael.
And all me.
Our breaks.
Mm-hmm. And my lack of Harry Potter knowledge in general.
I don't know.
Come on, Sarah.
Thank you.
Get it together.
I really do. The fifth book, it's so weird to me because, like, the fifth book is such, like, it's such a spot in my mind that it's funny because for as much as I claim to not like the second book, I think the fifth book is the one that is least clearly imprinted in my mind.
I find it traumatic and I skip it usually when I read
it. Yeah, same. I reread 10 chapters and I got to like, I only got to like 16, maybe 18 chapters in the Spark Notes, which didn't matter anyway because it's very broad strokes. But it did not remember, like, when I'm reading it, I'm like, I don't remember any of these people, I don't remember any of this, because, like, and, like, I obviously remember Kingsley Shacklebolt, but he's also in other books. Tonks is one of my favorites, other books as well. But, like, the other people who are in the, like, the Order of Phoenix, like, I did not remember, like, Podge, what is it, not Pottermore, Podge, whatever his face, Satchel, or whatever. Don't even remember his name. See? Can't remember.
Sturgis Podmore. Podmore Sturgis. Yep, that's it.
Podmore, comma, Sturgis.
Pottermore Satchel, as I call him.
Kevin Magicton.
Kevin Magicton.
No, I actually had time to rewatch the movie today because I am unemployed. But I was like, do I really want to watch this movie? Because it's like so depressing.
Yeah, so, Summer Town.
I don't want to. No, thank you. And I didn't. I actually like did other stuff. I like cleaned the house. I did laundry instead of actually watching this movie. That may have helped me get even further.
I don't know. They take creative license in that one.
That's true. Not as much as
Four.
Of Azkaban, but they do.
Well, or Goblet of Fire, where they just leave out 2 whole characters. It's fine. I'm not mad about it, as you can tell.
It's fine.
Yeah, I'm good. Totally fine.
Where's Winky? Whatever.
Where's fucking Winky? Damn it.
Those were great questions, Megan.
Thank you. God damn it.
I can't wait. I also can wait for the Jeopardy-style question. I actually really, really enjoy the Jeopardy-style one.
Yeah.
Because we can, at that time, do we all play? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We do. Yeah,
and
yeah,
and I think this time I'm going to make it more, not as much like paper stuck to a wall, but I'm going to try to make it look fancier. So it should be fun. I'm excited.
Oh, she's getting fancy, y'all.
You don't have to get that fancy. It was super fun last year. I thought at the live show last year, like I will say that our first live show, was that only our second live show?
I think so.
Yeah. So our first live show was super fun because we did the monikers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was good. That was good.
I think last year was, I don't know, I had so a ton of fun. I thought last year was good.
There was a lot of people there. It's awesome.
There were
so many people there. It was
terrifying.
It was awesome. It was terrifying. Like, because I'm legitimately like, I'm not going to bed tonight. I'm just going to read the entire fifth book of Harry Potter and have to reread it four times.
Well, you can't read it now. You have to be prepared.
We're going to have air conditioning. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. Are you sure? It's going to be so nuts. It's going to be a nice hotel.
Mm-hmm.
For realsies?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. We love you all.
Thank you, everybody. I'm going to turn the stream off.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye.